Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Wednesday, July 24th, 2024. It is
Pump Day.
It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 on the big show. Appreciate all the phone calls. Appreciate all the streamers, the watchers, the listeners. You are what makes this happen. So we appreciate all the interaction and calling in. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. If you want to get in on the action. And fresh from Green Bay, driving down, our friend and ongoing contributor and often co-host, like today, Trygve Olsen, a former Republican like myself, now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Trygve, great to have you here. Somebody earlier in the tweet said maybe the reason he was late is he got pulled over in Rosendale.
I didn't. But I will tell you, I had one person from New York City and one person from California with me. And I went blowing by the state trooper that was in. You know how they have some pickups that are state?
Yeah. Yep, yep. So,
and they're like, no, that wasn't a cop. It was a pickup. And I'm like, no, that was a state patrol. But fortunately, he didn't come. But
they were looking at something else when you blew by.
Yeah, but isn't that funny that the coastal elites are like, no, the cops don't drive pickup trucks. Right. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah, in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, they drive pickup trucks.
They absolutely do. No, yeah. There's more and more because it's practical, right, for a lot of these rural places. So
I got them. I stopped at the bookstore and got them a little Wisconsin swag, as I told you. But I'm thinking about, I've got to find some good cheddar cheese on State Street to give to them as well. I think there is one of those cheese shops.
There's probably a cheese shop on State, and there's Fromagination around the corner. They have Hooks, a great place in Southwest Wisconsin. Carr Valley, great cheese as well. So, I mean, Hooks 10-year-age cheddar, Carr Valley 5-year-age cheddar. Also, the Applewood smoked cheddar from Carr Valley. Fantastic.
You know my favorite one? So, up in my part of the world, Katie Cheese Factory in Spring Valley, Wisconsin, and they have a 17-year cave-age cheddar. Now, granted, 17. It's like, you could save it for retirement for your kids, but it's so good.
Tell it, maybe I'm putting you on the spot. If you don't want to tell it, fine. But tell me, you want to tell the story that you told me traveling around Wisconsin?
About President Bush?
Yeah, President Bush. This is a great story.
President Bush stopped there in 2004 at the Katie Cheese Factory, and they've got pictures up of him with the cheesemakers and all this stuff, and at one point, I got asked by Karl Rove. I was doing some work with him, and he's like, oh, you're from Wisconsin? What part? And I said, oh, Western Wisconsin. He's like, have you ever heard of this cheese place? And I'm like, up there? He's like, President Bush stopped. I'm like, the Katie Cheese Factory. Like, that's my go-to place, Spring Valley, where my grandparents lived. And he told this story that at one point, he gets called in after the 2004 election, and Bush is like, hey, you know that cheese place that we stopped at in Wisconsin? Can you call them and see if we could get some of that cheese for the state dinner that's coming up? I send Christmas boxes every 2 years from my company to people, and I almost always go to the Katie Cheese Factory and buy cheddar cheese.
So Katie Cheese made its way into a state dinner at the White House because former President Bush was so impressed.
Yeah, because Jim Harsdorf was helping pick spots, and he's like, you got to stop at the Katie Cheese Factory.
So regardless what people may
have, right. But you know what people don't understand about Wisconsin is there's the Katie Cheese Factory, and like every part of the state has their place, you know?
Right. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Now, Trygve joined us for a special show on Monday, of course, focusing on President Biden withdrawing from the race and the new nomination for Kamala Harris, VP.
Doesn't it seem like that happened like weeks ago now?
It was 2 days. 2 days. I know. It's been 3 weeks, so a month worse than news in 48 hours. But we really haven't had a chance since the wrap-up of the RNC, Republican National Convention, in Milwaukee last week, which you were kind enough to join us for the majority of. I want to play a cut from one of your colleagues at the Lincoln Project. Stuart Stevens was on one of the talk shows talking about his take, and then we'll get yours. Here's Stuart Stevens on the RNC that was in Milwaukee.
Stuart, I'm just going to put up this image of the Trump marquee last night and say your thoughts.
Look, I watched that last night and I saw a party that I used to work in applaud a wife beater introducing a man who has been found liable of sexual assault, a judge called rape, and it turned my stomach. It is extraordinarily low moment in American politics. I have zero respect for anyone who stood and applauded while a wife beater introduced a man who was found guilty of liable of sexual assault. I mean, that, just think about that. That's the same convention that applauded J.D. Vance, who was endorsed. This is the first time in American history by a Kremlin official with genocide hanging all over him, endorsed a presidential vice presidential candidate. I mean, this is just stuff that is just unimaginable. And it's not funny. It's not cute. I have no desire to meet these people halfway. The only way you can deal with this and try to bring back some sanity is to defeat this Republican Party and defeat it again and again. And then maybe a sane center-right party will emerge.
The words of Stuart Stevens. If you're not familiar, Stuart, who is now with the Lincoln Project, a former Republican like Trivia and I, ran Mitt Romney World, was high up in W. Bush World. This is a guy who is no snowflake, to use a derogatory term by the other side. This was a dyed-in-the-wool Republican saying this, Trigvy.
100%. I mean, Stuart is a true conservative. It just, the party left him, not same as you and same as me. And Stuart is probably even more loquacious than you are, Todd, which is saying something. You've had him on the show.
But, yes.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing that got me is like, what was the Hulk Hogan thing? Like,
right?
Like, what was
and
that?
Dana White? I mean, it was just a show. And ripping his shirt off and Hulk Hogan and all this stuff.
What are you going to do? What you going to do when the mega maniacs run all over you? It's right. Just like, if it weren't serious and there weren't nuclear weapons involved with the person ultimately in the job that he's seeking, it would be comical. But it's not funny. And and the contrast between what you saw at that convention and I think what you've seen the Democratic Party do and the leadership of Nancy Pelosi in contrast to Mitch McConnell, who was booed on the stage and who had strategists around him and bought into this notion that you could have the Trump coalition without the insanity. And now we have even greater insanity than we had before. As a former Republican, as somebody who still considers themselves conservative, it makes me rather ill.
I agree, and I think Stuart nailed it on the head. This is when you and I were coming up, you know, Dan Quayle, party of family values and all this stuff. And to Stuart's point, they are now standing, applauding, and nominating and endorsing a guy who has been found liable of sexual assault in legal terms, rape, against E.G. Carroll.
Had an affair with a porn star when his wife was 7 months pregnant. Now, imagine if your daughter, if you're a dad who's thinking about voting for Trump, who's tried to instill in your daughter the value of integrity and honesty. Imagine that at 25, 26, she comes home, she's expecting your first grandchild, and she says, you know, I don't know what to do. Bob was out in Vegas with his buddies and slept with a prostitute. And, you know, like, what do I do? What would you say? Like, would you accept that as something, or would your instinct for protection kick in? You wouldn't tolerate that. And you can say, oh, all politicians are that way. You just saw a politician in Nancy Pelosi go to the most powerful person, not just in her party, but in the country, and say, I'm sorry, but time is undefeated and you need to step aside. Like, that's leadership. whereas the Republican Party and that entire convention was devoid of what leadership really is about. And it isn't even how average Trump supporters would act within their own lives if they were in the situation that they saw that kind of lack of integrity in people that their family is interacting with.
And then you have a vice presidential nominee in J.D. Vance, who is on the record as saying he supports a national ban on abortion, including in cases of rape and incest, and a guy who is on the record as saying that he believes that women, wives who are in abusive relationships, should stay there and should not get out.
Yeah, and supports something called Project 2025 that makes divorce substantially harder for women in that circumstance, or men, anyone, to get out of a marriage. And well, again, I'm not a fan of divorce. It's the kind of decision that individuals have to make in the context with their family. There should not be politicians interceding in things that are supposed to be choices of families. And if you think that that is conservative, that is antithetical to what conservatism is supposed to be about, at least as I was taught it. And quite frankly, I mean, again, I get back to it. I'm a guy who likes my shotgun. I don't want government telling me what kind of shells I can own for my shotgun or what kind of shotgun I can own. But I'll be damned, and I'm pro-life, but I'll be damned if I want government telling my daughters and my family what they, passing moral judgment and making those decisions that they should be making, that should be made with families and medical people.
We saw Liz Cheney, former Republican congresswoman from Wyoming, and also Adam Kinzinger, former Republican congressman from Illinois, both endorsed Joe Biden. It's sounding like they're probably going to endorse Kamala Harris as well. At least Kinzinger on Twitter has said that's probably
what he plans to do. I can't imagine that they wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and if Harris wanted to drive Donald Trump into the loony bin, she would hint that she might make Liz Cheney Attorney General.
That would be fantastic. That would be
I don't know if Liz went to law school or not. Actually, I think she did at UVA. But
off the text line, WMDX Llama here in Madison says, I left the Republican Party when they changed the voting rules 2 weeks before an election. It has only gotten worse for them since. I have to believe that there are people like us who are looking for a better way. I mean, Llama, I'm with you. That's why I left the Republican Party in 2011, because I was a witness to inside Wisconsin State Capitol Republican closed caucuses in which they called them voter ID bills, but it was literally in order to suppress the vote of people of color in Wisconsin, as well as young people on college campuses. And I said, I didn't sign up to take constitutional rights away from my fellow Americans. So 100%. Back after this, don't go anywhere. Your phone calls as well as the All Ball Show along with Trigvy Olson, 855-752-4842. Is truth stranger than fiction? We'll tell you on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
It's payday. Get that cheese. We gotta get that cheese.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Trigvy Olson, Hillary Senior Advisor to Lincoln Project. Got to get that cheese. Mark on the Facebook says, yesterday I bought a pound of Gruyere cheese.
Gruyere.
I know, Gruyere.
It's French.
I'm not French. I can't. I just like the food. I don't like the language. The language is difficult for me. Gruyere cheese at Car Valley Cheese at the shop in Sauk City. Impossible ham and cheese pie is coming. Thank you, Mark. That's great. It's one of my favorite places. I know the owner of that, Sid Cook. He went through the Master Cheese Maker program at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I got to know him over the years. If you want a better Wisconsinite, you will not find it. Sid Cook at Car Valley Cheese.
What can I say?
Part of what makes Wisconsin great.
Harleys roar, Eagles soar, Packers score, baby. We got to get J-Love in the house. We need to get him signed. I thought that when I went rolling by. When I was up there in the 414, yeah. I went rolling by Lambeau Field, and I'm thinking, they got to get Jordan Love in the house. I wanted to go over and watch the training camp. Anyway, more importantly, we have L.A. Tom.
Yeah, we do have L.A. Tom. 855-752-4842. L.A. Tom, thanks for calling in. We always appreciate it. What do you got for us?
Well, it's all about the love, guys. That's what it's all about.
It is.
That's all we need, Dom.
That's where we're at. That's all we need. Trigby, I got a question for you.
Yes.
I also am a pro-life Democrat. And yep. What I mean by pro-life, I mean I'm not for capital punishment.
Yep.
I'm not for wars.
Yep.
I'm not for, you know, terminations of pregnancies myself, except that I'm not going to be making that choice. It's a woman's right to choose.
Right.
So what I have done is I've reframed this thing as, because I grew up in the, you know, in the years where the dogma was there about pro-life and wearing yeah. 6 week fetus on your coat and all that stuff. And the way I look, and I grew up in Durand, Wisconsin.
Oh, my God. Just down the street from me. Middle border, baby.
Yeah, my dad was the head football coach there for 5 years. Peter Adler.
No way.
Yeah, but anyway.
Wait a minute. When did you graduate from Durand?
89.
Oh, my God. I graduated from River Falls in 86. We were probably at high school football games.
I went to college, actually. Yeah, I actually went to college in River Falls my first 2 years, and I went to St. Norbert College over in Green Bay for my last 2 years. So sorry about this, Todd.
No, it's fantastic. Go ahead.
And Wisconsin will always be my roots, and that's why I'm always, you know, connected, much more so than that hubby. But what I wanted to say is that, you know, I've reframed it as pro a woman's right to choose versus pro the government's right to choose, because it's two different nouns that are doing the choosing.
Right.
Now, if you don't want to terminate a pregnancy, don't terminate a pregnancy.
Right.
And for us people that are truly pro-life, we should try to encourage a woman by giving her financial assistance or doing whatever not to terminate a pregnancy. But how is it that we on the Democratic side can take back the word pro-life after all the dogma of the Catholic Church and all of the dogma that has happened over the years versus, you know, making it where it's a binary choice between pro-life, which the opposite of pro-life is obviously pro-death. It's not pro-choice.
Right.
So how do we – that's why I say pro-woman's right to choose or pro-big government's right to choose.
Right.
Thanks.
Can you expound upon that?
Yeah.
And I'd love to talk to you more. Like I said, I'm from Durand.
For sure.
Appreciate it, L.A., Tom.
That is a great point. And it actually is, as Tom was saying that, it reminds me of a – Twitter cesspool conversation that I had with some people from the left, right? So the stereotype of people on the right, and I heard this in the focus groups last night, particularly with undecided voters, is, you know, these people on the left, do they think that we're dumb? Like they think they're better than us. They think they're smarter than us. And you do see that sometimes. And I saw this where I was making the point that I'm pro-life, I'm pro-gun, I'm conservative, but I'll be darned if I'm going to let a bunch of theocrats choose for my daughters, and I'm going to vote for Democrats until we get some common sense on the other side, even though it's against my partisan self-interest. And I had these people on the left just beating up on me. You're pro-choice. And it's like, why are you fighting with me over labels? I'm on your side and you're calling me an idiot it's, you know, saying bad things about my daughters. The key thing I think is in the abortion debate. If the abortion debate is between no abortions under any circumstances and abortion on demand will be the where most people fall. But most people in the survey research that we've done, and this is just the truth, don't fall there, right? Most people fall 12 weeks, maybe first heartbeat. Obviously, exceptions, rape, incest, the life of the mother. The most Americans, when they talk about being against abortion, they're against late-term abortions. Now, I know people will say if they don't happen regularly, the Pete Buttigieg line, but the truth of the matter is there should be a common ground that could be found on this, and whichever side is in the more extreme position is going to be the one that's losing in the court of public opinion.
Yeah,
so
And that's based on your research and focus groups here in Wisconsin. We've had, you know, Dr. Kristen Lierley, an 100%. OBGYN, who's now running for the 8th congressional seat. She joined us in Green Bay as an OBGYN. She said, look, you know, these late-term abortions, at least in her long experience, simply don't happen. This, you know,
But then there should be no reason to be against having some kind of limitation or where, you know, like after some point. Mm-hmm. But here's the other point for Tom. You know, I was talking to a group of like the very leading young progressives. They mm-hmm. asked me to come and speak to them. And I kind of got into it with them because one of them said, well, I'm just really tired of MAGA and the right owning the flag and what it means to be an American. And I went after the kid a little bit and I said, why do you let them do that?
Exactly.
You own the flag just as much. And he said, well, I'm an immigrant and I'm a gay American male. And I said, so? Like, that doesn't give them the right to own the flag. My wife's an immigrant and, you know, one of my best friends growing up, same situation. Like, they don't get to determine it unless you let them. And the Democrats have let Republicans in the Catholic Church own being pro-life. And, you know, that they got to take that back.
And you and I have been around long enough. There used to be Republicans in Congress, like my former boss, Scott Klug, who were pro-choice. 100%. And there were Democrats, particularly from the South, who were pro-life Democrats.
And now the only one in the U.S. Senate is Bob Casey. And Bob Casey in Pennsylvania takes a ton of grief about that. And in fact, there were focus groups, which, you know, like if they MSNBC is running the focus groups I'm a part of. And there were all these people on the left attacking, where's the diversity in the Trump supporters on Twitter?
Right.
In the stories that have been running today about it. And including one who's a professor at NYU. And I'm like, it's Brown County and they're Trump supporters.
Right.
Like, well, and they're like, there's no diversity in your group. You people are biased, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, try and understand, put yourself in the other person's shoes for a little bit and understand, right? Like, I don't know. This is the thing, and we're digressing here, but Todd, you grew up in Richland Center. How old were you before you talked to somebody who was an African American?
We had one black family, and so I was probably in middle school or high school.
Yeah, yeah. I was 16 years old before I ever talked, because there were no African American people in River Falls.
Yeah, we had a great family, Walter Woolley and Chris Woolley and their dad Leroy.
That doesn't make
great
us,
guy.
That, yeah, right. And that, you know, Tracy ended up as one of my best lifelong friends. But the reality is a lot of people don't understand that that's the reality for people.
Stay tuned back after this. Trigby, Todd, Zommers, Civic Media. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Lavall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Wednesday, July 24th, 2024. Todd Lavall, glad to be along with you. Aaron Zommer is our producer engineer, and joining us here in person, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square, in the world headquarters, Trigby Olson, like myself, a former Republican from Wisconsin, now a senior advisor with the Lincoln Project, and normally joins us via StreamYard out in D.C. and here back at his home turf, Wisconsin, dressed in red and white, his brand new Wisconsin baseball cap purchased at the University Bookstore. Trigby, always happy to have you here.
I got some swag, too.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But it's kind of warm in here. So
it is a little warm.
And, long sleeve.
Very good.
Well, it's Wisconsin.
It's Wisconsin. You never know what weather's going to do.
No, you don't. It was cold up there in Green Bay.
Right? Yeah, a little chilly on the lake.
But it's almost football season, Todd. Training camp.
Jordan Love?
As an NFL owner, it's the best season of the year.
I want to finish up this discussion we were having before the break. Great discussion on, you know, the abortion issue, women's right to choose, pro-life, pro-choice. Mary has been waiting on the phone, listening in on the beautiful city of Mount Horeb, our village of Mount Horeb out there in Dane County. Mary, thanks for listening. What say you?
Yes, good morning. Just a couple points. Trady, I guess I graduated in 86 too, so we're the same age.
From Mount Horeb or where?
So,
where'd you graduate from?
Shell Lake.
Shell Lake.
All these Northwest Wisconsin people. Oh my God. People.
So Shell Lake, one of my best friends growing up had a cabin on Shell Lake, and the amount of debauchery that took place. We had a rule, what happens north of Highway 8 stays north of Highway 8, and that rule still applies to this day. Yep. Love going north of Highway 8 to Shell Lake.
It's supposedly the highest elevated lake in the state. I don't know how true that is. But it's beautiful.
Lots of walleyes in Shell Lake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, just a couple things. I'm with you guys. Sorry, I'm cleaning a house and the dog is barking. I'll go outside.
No, it's okay. I love dogs.
She's a little yapper. The person, when you did the groups where they said that liberals think they're stupid, and I'm with you guys where, no, you got to take the whole person, you got to, like, empathy, humanity, all that. But a little snarky comment I thought as soon as you said that was, well, you are the company you keep, as far as Trump goes. But that aside, I know that was a low moment. So I let that go. And the diversity thing, I met my first, for lack of a better term, black person when I was 16 or 17. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got to work in Disney World for a summer.
Oh, sweet.
And so I was the northern, and I, even though I hadn't met anybody prior to that, I mean, I had no problem. I mean, my parents, I love, they're both passed now, but they raised me. I don't understand any of that, the anti-Semitism, the racism. No. I just never understood it. So it was totally fine. And so what I think the GOP is using it as a weapon and taking advantage of these people and their, for lack of a better word, their ignorance, because they don't know, and you're afraid of what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And so if we as a party can try to, like Alberto Willis would say, give them a place to land, then maybe we, because they're so defensive all the time because, they're being accused of these things that, they may be, racist or whatever, but I think a lot of them aren't, and they just are being molded by the negative or the powers that be on the other side to be that way.
Right.
And so that's unfortunate. And the only other comment I had, I called in on Nurses Day. My daughter was a nurse.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing, as far as, like you said, there has to be a limit, and I'm all for that too. That was called Roe v. Wade.
Exactly.
But also, as we see what's happening with these women who get into these terrible situations where their lives are at risk, and you got the other side splitting hairs saying, "Oh, you're not dead enough, or you're not, you're not close to dying." I believe there should be a limit. And the late term stuff is typically those horrific health situations, and that has to be made crystal clear that when that happens, yes, they can get the health care they need.
100%.
So, my daughter is a labor and delivery nurse, and she is voting for Biden, or not Biden, Harris. Right. So she's for labor and delivery.
Thank you, Mary. I think the signal dropped right at the end of the call there. So appreciate it, Mary. Always appreciate your contributions and listening. And I think she made that last point, Trigvi, to me is a really important one because, again, Dr. Lyerly has been on this program and others throughout civic media, and she's made the same point. It isn't as the right would frame it or the MAGA folks would frame it that, oh, my gosh, women are going in and getting these late-term abortion on demand thing. And I want to be very careful here because I know you've had experiences in this realm and gone through this and lived it. But my understanding from Dr. Lyerly is that we have these very, very rare occurrences where women have complications in pregnancies very late in the pregnancy, and most sensible people would call it a tragedy. But the law would call it technically an abortion. Yep. And to Mary's point, the confusion becomes, or the concern is, some of these state laws, and if you elect people like J.D. Vance, would make it a national law that would make it very legally complicated for physicians, doctors, emergency room people to treat a woman in a very late pregnancy where it's she's going to die and or the fetus is going to die. And it's a matter of saving the woman's life late in the pregnancy. But the doctor is like, well, technically, by the book, legally, I might be committing an abortion, so I can't do it. That's the complication here. We're not talking about women suddenly going in and, quote unquote, killing a baby.
100%. And, you know, I mean, you alluded to it, and I'll just say it, right? So 18 years ago on Monday, my oldest daughter would have turned 18. And it's been hard. I mean, it's a long time, and I've come to have acceptance to it. And much like I heard Joe Biden say one time, talking about his son, you know, eventually you get to a place where you can look back and smile about it. But she was still born at 38 weeks, umbilical cord detached, and we didn't get into the hospital soon enough. And, you know, having held her, the idea that there would be people that would make a choice not to have that child, and you can't tell me that it was anything other than a child. That said, part of it shaped me because there was a real concern when my wife first went in, is she okay? And they had to get that, our daughter, Vilta, out, because it had the potential to become a real risk for my wife. And the fact that you could have states in the United States that would say, no, can't do that, that's aborting a child, right? You know, what is that? Like, yeah. And when people are dealing with that, having dealt with it, I can't tell you how much it's something that you have to deal with just as individuals. And because of what my wife did at the time, quite honestly, it became a media story. I think I've told you that before. And because of her job, and it wasn't like the people who were trying to cover it had ill intent. They were trying to educate. But if we have one, when I do all this research and focus groups and other stuff, if there's one thing that I think we as Americans have really started to fail to do, is to try and put ourselves in other people's shoes and walk a little bit and try and understand their perspectives. And, you know, one of the things I think that we've really tried to do, that I'm really proud of, that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people. And maybe when we do a tour in September, we should go to some cheese factories. And
I think that's a great idea.
Listen to people there. But it is. We've really got to listen to people.
Yeah, I think you're still right about that. That's why I love going on the road. And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Yeah. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. And to Mary's point earlier, I think it's just a matter of understanding. I grew up in a town of 5,000 people in southwest Wisconsin. Like I say, we had one black family in our community at the time who were terrific and knew them really well and had the utmost respect. And then it was the two-year campus, UW-Richland campus, that brought in Central American students, that we were a host family, and it literally changed my life through my experiences in El Salvador. I wouldn't have my two godsons. Their mother is originally from El Salvador and went to the campus there and married a buddy of mine who was from Spring Green, 10 miles, 15 miles down the road.
Right.
And so it's exposure to people who don't look like you, who may come from different life experiences, but the more we understand at the end of the day, we're just humans, and if you immigrate here, become a citizen, we're all Americans. And it really is a melting pot.
It is a melting pot. And part of what makes America great is the diversity of America. And we all have a tendency at times to think, oh, well, maybe others are looking down on me or whatever. And most people are spending so much time thinking about themselves. But the truth of the matter is, and it is something that I think Tom, living in LA, would speak to, and others, and I know this from having lived around the country, people in Wisconsin really are, I think, less judgmental than most people. And that's why we can't let our politics be defining us and dividing us. Because the truth of the matter is, when people are at high school football games, when they're watching the Cheesemakers play up in Cutahay, right?
Or Monroe,
right? They're all cheering for the Cheesemakers. They're not wearing red hats or blue hats.
Right.
And yeah, we've got to get beyond that. And that starts with saying, you know what, Todd, you have some different experiences. Why did you come to that thinking?
Right.
And you and I end up having some funny conversations in the car about that both ways. So,
how's that for a message of unity?
Exactly. Liz, listening in Saukville via WAUK, the Shaw, says, Dr. Lyerly has also spoken about the terrible complications that can occur late term that can injure the baby and the mom, even causing death, or that the mom cannot have children in the future. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Also, Anne, listening up in beautiful Chippewa Falls, says maybe we should hold men accountable for abortions. Mm-hmm. women don't get pregnant on their own. Great point. Yeah. When Trump says women should have some form of punishment, if men were the ones who got pregnant, we wouldn't even be discussing this issue. Totally agree with that. And Tom listening in LA says, Ellsworth Cheese Factory rules. Absolutely. Duran, population 2047. Great points all. You said his name a while ago, Trigby. Let's spend a minute talking about the speech tonight, Mr. Zomers.
I'm stepping down. I'm not running for president. I'm sorry, what? One last time. Relax, have a drink with me. One last time. Let's take a break tonight, and then we'll teach him how to say goodbye. To say goodbye. You and I.
Great Broadway musical, Tony Award winning, from Lin-Manuel Miranda, Hamilton. Great scene where George Washington is telling Alexander Hamilton, look, I'm stepping down. I'm not running for a third term. Tonight, Trigby, really, I mean, LBJ did it early enough where he didn't have to face the primaries. Correct me if I'm wrong, but not since Washington have we had a president that was set to run for re-election and step down, at least as for terms of running again, since George Washington. And I think tonight, President Joe Biden deserves a lot of credit. He was someone who put country before self. And I'm looking forward to this speech.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, Joe Biden is going to be looked on favorably by history. And it was not the most ideal circumstances that the party had to go through. But like any family, they went through it. And quite frankly, it seems based on what Biden has been saying, and I think what you're going to hear tonight, that he's going to get out. He understands the threat that Donald Trump is. Mm-hmm. He understands that he was not the person, you know, 4 years ago, he was the person to litigate the case. But like all of us, time is undefeated. Yeah. And so I think what you're going to see is a great American probably giving a strong speech tonight. And I, you know, people, this is the thing that was being missed living out in Washington, D.C. Like average American people understood what they were seeing because so many of them lived it with their own parents. And yeah. Most people, even the Trump people that we were talking to last night, said they feel sad that Joe Biden got there because it reminds them of all of us and our mortality.
Looking forward to it. You can hear that speech live at 7 p.m. Terry Bell and myself are anchoring the coverage. 7 o'clock tonight right here on Civic Media. President Biden's speech to America from the Oval Office. Don't go anywhere. Your calls. We see you on the lines. Do not hang up, as Matt Flynn says, back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. Superior to Lake Michigan, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, Wisconsin has 15,000 lakes and ours have fish in them. By golly.
Every single one of them.
It's the Todd Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network along with Trigby Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project. Trigby, by the way, we haven't had a chance to cover this. It was announced this week that at the University of Wisconsin, hang on to your hats, beer will be sold at Camp Randall for football this year.
Oh, dude, I can't believe we're going back to that. I remember the Don McLean era when I was in high school coming down here.
That was probably the most exciting thing under the Don McLean era.
Everybody was smuggling stuff in, and it was.
I'm not sure this is still
marshmallows.
Forward.
Are they going to start letting marshmallows back in to throw at the rental cops?
I don't
know. Those were good times. I mean, I hate to be one of those guys who's the good old days, but it is we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, and we are becoming a more perfect union, and Wisconsin football games are a lot more perfect now than they were during the Don McLean era, but there was something fun about being terrible and everybody tormented.
More revenue for UW.
I understand it was wrong now, but Boy, there was some fun to that.
855.
It's like the Mifflin Street block party, Todd.
Which is still going. 855-752.
Now it's legal. Yes. So it's, well, not in Wisconsin, but most places.
855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Zomers will oftentimes open the window and just let the air in, and you always feel a little better here in Madison. Right. Let's go. Speaking of Madison, let's go quickly to the phone lines. Kurt in Madison. Kurt, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, now that you said that, not to date myself, I attended Badger games where they were passing people.
Yes, yes, yes. Those are the good old days.
As a matter of fact, it was the weekend of I attended the big toga party from the release of Animal House. A bunch of guys smuggle a half barrel into the stands.
Wow, into the stands.
They were. Yeah. Why was it? It was kind of comical how not so bright the people guarding the doors were.
Well, now they have magnometers.
They didn't care.
Right. Yeah. What do you got for us, Kurt?
We went in. Okay, I'll get right to it. One of the things in this discussion is where I grew up, which Sheboygan, relatively still a small town. Mm-hmm. Most of the kids I knew and grew up, all the parents were on the same sheet of music where they would teach their children that, you know, you're going to see different people. And we would naturally gravitate towards those that weren't like us, meaning white, and really engage, whereas the fear factor. So where I'm going with this is I always want to drive to root cause. The reason these problems persist is we have a problem in this country where this is taught. Children aren't born with this information genetically. They're taught to behave this way.
Right.
And I just don't have a clue how you break that cycle.
So I would say that that's true, although I would also say my kids growing up in Arlington, Virginia, where it's really diversified both economically and in terms of race, it's just not on their radar screen, interestingly enough, because...
But your wife is also originally from a different country, so they have that kind of built-in appreciation for internationalism.
I think part of it, too, though, is, to a degree, Kurt, sometimes, people, they haven't... It's not that they're inherently racist. There are racist people, no doubt, but it's not that they're racist. They don't know, and they haven't had an opportunity. And so you're right. And I don't know how we fully get beyond that.
That's why I'm such a fan of international exchange programs, whether it's high school, whether it's college. Again, you know, sending our kids, quote unquote, our kids in America to live for 6 weeks or whatever with a foreign family or vice versa. I just think, Trigvi, and you've traveled all over the world. If you know someone, if you have a personal relationship, 100%. It makes it a heck of a lot harder to point a bomb or a gun or anything else at them.
100%. 100%.
So it's about getting to know each other. Let's go quickly up to the Fox Valley, listening on WISS in Oshkosh, or maybe WGBW in Green Bay. Lovely town of Appleton, Wisconsin. I lived there for a summer. Jim, what's up? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. I might be changing the subject a little bit here, but as a voter, when I look at voting, I always look at the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court right now is, you know, overweighted to the right. But one thing I'm dating myself here is that 50 years ago today, the Supreme Court ruled that Nixon had to turn tapes over, and I believe it was 9-0.
Yeah.
Now, if you had put the court today, back in 74, making that ruling, what do you think it would be?
Thanks for the call, Jim. Appreciate it. Up at Appleton.
4-5 against.
Yeah.
It would be the three liberal justices and Roberts probably voting that he would have to turn them over, and the other five, maybe not. Kavanaugh and Comey Barrett would be kind of up in the air, but certainly Thomas and Alito would not be.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. I mean,
I think that's what.
And don't you think that there was a time, Trigvi, and Trump changed all that, where I think that, I mean, look at Reagan or HW that appointed Kennedy, who was supposed to be a conservative. Yeah. And it turned out that he was Sandra Day O'Connor, first woman on the court appointed by Reagan. Mm-hmm. These were not people, sure, they were conservative leaning, but during their term on the Supreme Court, they were not what I would call straight line. And of course, we don't have parties technically in the Supreme Court, but they were not straight line party voters.
Yeah, and both sides kind of clearly, the court being packed the way it's packed right now and what went on as it relates to Merrick Garland's appointment and then the Kavanaugh appointment, mm-hmm. that is on the right. That said, I mean, I kind of think both parties, again, have a little bit on this, because what ended up happening, and it's always one side, you know, extremism is a cycle. And so you had the Republicans, particularly the far right, deciding we got to take over the court so we can decide this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, at times then when the Senate confirmations no longer just became advice and consent once you had this partisanizing. And so we got away from it being a win-win situation where we're going to appoint somebody like Merrick Garland had passed 99-0, right, yeah. for the higher court. That's
off,
gone.
Off the text line quickly. Someone, Trigby was talking about being in the stands throwing marshmallows with pennies in them at rental cops. Somebody says, hey, I was one of those rental cops. It was my high school job, but it was crazy fun.
Exactly. How about that? I'm sorry, sir. Mr. 608.
We appreciate you being here. Trigby Olson, see you next week, my friend. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next for Zomers, for Kreitlow, and all our callers. We appreciate you so much. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn. And until tomorrow, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging on your drum.